brought to you by Audible.com, the internet's leading provider of audiobooks with more than 150,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, including fiction, nonfiction, and periodicals. For a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/bookhype. Welcome to Book Hype. I'm Jen, and tonight I'm joined by Karen, Marima, and Kyle. Hello, everyone.
Hey.
Hi.
Karen's here.
Karen's not
going to
say hello.
She's antisocial tonight.
No, I said hi at the same time Kyle did. And he must have just drowned me out. So hi, everyone.
I'm sorry.
I was like, Karen. All right, so tonight's Book Hype is just going to be kind of like a news episode. We have some things to talk about that we've written about on Book Hype, some cool projects that are kicking around out there in the book world. And, of course, we're going to talk about what we've read and all kinds of good stuff like that. We're also going to mention some of the hottest books coming out this summer, or in July, actually. We're going to take it 1 month at a time so you guys don't feel overwhelmed by the lists of books. All right, and so to kick it off, we're going to have Karen tell us what she read this week.
Okay, I just have one book this week, and it was Don't You Forget About Me by Kate Karis Quinn. And it was a really weird book, but it was good. I think, Jen, you were the one that was talking about this before.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, I remember. You were talking about it. I was like, oh, that sounds really good. It's about this town where nobody gets sick, but, like, really weird things happen because of that. And I was like, man, I think I really want to read that book. And I was looking on my shelf, and you had already sent it to me, like, a month ago.
I am that good, Karen.
You are so good. You know exactly what I like to read. So I picked it up, and I read it, and I got through it pretty quickly. It was a very good book. But it was a little confusing. It drops you right in, and you're not really sure how the world sort of works. You kind of always have to guess, but, you know, it had a lot of really good twists, and it has, like, I think, a really good message and a lot of really kind of hard-hitting questions that come up because of it. So I'm still trying to figure out exactly how I feel about it, but it was a good book, and I would recommend it to people who like these sort of, like, utopian, dystopian type of books with, like, some magic thrown in and stuff.
Can I just tell you, when Karen finished reading the book, her message to me was, "What the hell did I just read?" I was like, well, I don't know. What did you just read? And then she clarified. I'm like, yep, that about sums it up. So that was kind of funny. So, Marima, do you want to tell us what you've been reading?
Sure. I have read the new book from Rainbow Rowell, Landline, which I really liked. Someone came on Book Hype and said they didn't like it. I can't remember who it was. Maybe it was Brittany.
It was Brittany.
Yeah. I really liked it, even though it's not young adult, and I would recommend that if you enjoy Rainbow Rowell, then you check this out anyway, because I think her voice is just really strong, regardless of how old the characters she's writing about are. And it's a different kind of story, because it's about a woman who kind of finds this phone that can go back in time, like make phone calls back in time, sort of. And, you know, so it's got a little bit of the sci-fi element, but it's very cool. And then after I read that, I went back and reread Attachments, also by Rainbow Rowell, just because in my own head, I sort of wanted to do a comparison of how much I enjoyed her other quote unquote adult book. And that was only the second time I've read that, I think, maybe the third. And that definitely stood up. I really, really liked them both. So that was fun. And then I also read The Secret Diary of Lizzie Bennet by Bernie Sue and Kate Rorick, which came out this week. That is the book companion to the Lizzie Bennet Diaries web series, which is the huge hit adaptation of Pride and Prejudice by Jane Austen. And it's okay, although they're marketing it as if you can read the book without having watched the web series, which would make sense because it's like 100 episodes that you'd have to catch up on. But honestly, I don't think you could read it and it would make a lot of sense, or it would kind of mean anything, because it references too many things that happen in the videos that aren't shown in the book. So that's a little bit of a shame, because I think they could have done a bit more with that. And then I just started reading, slightly off different topic, Secret Lives of Great Composers by Elizabeth Lunde, which I started reading like months and months ago, and I never finished it. So I've gone back to read it, and it's a nonfiction book, and it's basically just stories about like Beethoven and Mozart and all these amazing composers who are like these little stories that you wouldn't generally know about them. And it's very, very funny. So if you're interested in music and or laughing, I would recommend that. And that's it for this week.
I like that. Music and or laughing.
Yeah, it's really, really funny. It's like the one I'm just reading at the moment is about how this guy was like a taxi driver on the side. And yeah, it's good times.
That's pretty fun. And Kyle, how about you?
Well, yeah, I'm reading the same stuff as I was last week, just because I'm really slow. I can't read a million books a week like you guys can. I can't even read one book a week. Like, I just, like, I split my time up in such weird ways that I don't make enough time for books. So, yeah, I'm reading same things. And mostly right now what I'm trying to get through of is Kingdom Keepers, because everyone at work sees me with it and they're like, oh my god, that like book is amazing, and I'm like halfway through and I really like it so far. So
cool. Yes. Well, Kingdom Keepers is really cool because they actually used to let him in the park at night so he could see what the rides looked like and stuff. Like, he used to have Imagineers that would take him in at night and take him all around the different rides and stuff in the dark at night when it was closed. So it's kind of cool because the stuff he's writing about, when you read about the rides and stuff, he legitimately like walked through them in that. So
yeah, I love it. And it's great being able to know exactly where he's talking about, because I've worked at Disney World. So like hearing him mention things, I'm like, oh, I know that. And like hearing him talk about like the tunnels underneath Disney World, I was like, oh, I know exactly which part of the tunnel he's in. That's awesome. So
very yeah. Cool. Okay, so for me, I read Conversion by Katherine Howe. It comes out tomorrow. And this is really, really cool kind of story that mixes true historical people and things that are happening in the current day. And it's basically two stories unfolding at the same time. And it's about conversion disorder. So it's really, really cool. And the writing, you guys, the writing is so beautiful. Katherine Howe, her first novel was an adult novel. So this is her kind of first YA novel. And you, like, this isn't really technically a YA novel, except it's set in high school. I mean, it's very literary, but not in a way that is boring. Because sometimes I find literary really hard to get through. I find it a little pretentious sometimes and stuff like that. But I love this book. It's beautifully written. Just really, really gorgeous. So I highly suggest you guys check that out. And it's a little creepy, I'm not gonna lie. She heard a story about these girls that were at a boarding school in upstate New York that were having, there was this disorder that they were coming down with. And then she related it to like the Salem witch trials. So the story that's being told in the past is from Ann Putnam. And she was a real person that lived during the Salem witch trials. And then she connects what's going on in the past to what's going on now at the boarding school in Danvers, Massachusetts, which is kind of close to where Salem is now. So it's really cool. I really, really liked it. And I finished last week. I had mentioned I was reading The Half-Life of Molly Pierce by Katrina Leno. I finished it. And I have to say, it wasn't what I thought it was going to be. Remember, I had mentioned that I thought it was maybe like a reincarnation kind of thing or something. It's not at all. It's a psychological disorder. And the more I read it, the more it kind of annoyed me on certain levels, because this is a realm in kind of which I work like on the daily basis. So as I'm reading it, there were things that didn't work, that things that were kind of unrealistic given what she was using as her disorder. So I had problems with it in that regard. Overall, people might really like it. It was hard for me to read because it's something I know a lot about. It was also a little confusing because it starts basically at the end and works its way to the beginning. So that was kind of a different way to read it too. It was very, I think it was meant to feel jumbly, and that's exactly how it felt. Like, it was meant to kind of keep you off balance, and it did that. It served its purpose, but it also wasn't the best way to tell a story. And then the last thing I read is Dirty Wings by Sarah McCary, and this comes out in a couple weeks. This is a really cool story. It's a Persephone tale, but it's very, very different. It's got this gorgeous, it's really beautiful writing again. Like this week, I got really lucky with the books that I happen to pick up and choose. The writing is beautiful. It's kind of a modern day Persephone, but not like some of the other things we may have read. And it's got this one girl is a music prodigy and this other girl kind of saves her. And then there's this boy that enters the picture and he's kind of meant to represent like Hades and stuff. But it's this really cool story, beautifully, beautifully written. And the musical piece is really cool too. So I definitely suggest also checking that one out. And then today, and I realized I didn't put this on here. Sorry, Karen. Today I started listening to The Breakup Artist. I'm not sure if anyone's read it. It's been out for a while. But I started listening to it when I was working out. And it is the cutest darn book. Like, it is so funny. And listening to it, the narrator, the way she reads and the way she's acting, she sounds a lot like kind of like how Veronica Mars sounds as she's kind of giving these little scenarios of things that are going on. And The Breakup Artist is basically this girl had a best friend and her best friend ditched her for a boy. So now she basically goes around breaking people up. It's what she does. And she gets paid $100 per breakup. So it's really entertaining and funny so far. I really like that one as well.
So that sounds really cute.
It is so cute. I thought of you. I thought you had read it. Honestly, I was like, oh my God, it's so cute. It's so funny.
I have to say, on the subject of audiobooks, going back to that Lizzie Bennet book, if anyone is interested in that one, it's actually the audiobook is done by the girl who played Lizzie in the web series, which is cool. So if you want to listen to it, it'll be like she's reading it to you.
Considering we've been talking about audiobooks, now would be a great time to remind you guys about Audible.com. It's a great service to use when you're looking to get a new audiobook. Really simple to use. You can download your books anywhere. I use it on my phone, on my computer, on my tablet. It's fantastic. So one of the books that we're going to suggest this week that you check out is The Breakup Artist. I'm currently listening to it. I really love it. The narrator is fantastic, and it's just a really fun book to listen to. So for a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/bookhype. That's audiblepodcast.com/bookhype. So let's get on with this week's book bites. This came in from a listener, Sarah Fiat, and she says she wants us to talk about how NA, like new adult, looks now as opposed to when we did our first podcast on it. And also, why are most all new adult novels romance? So do you guys have any thoughts on that? I don't know. That was a while ago. Who wants
to? No one knows.
Who wants to pull up the show notes? I mean, I think like, we talked
new
about
adult
it.
Is weird. And
I think we talked about it, you know, being a little bit more sexual. There's a lot more sex usually in new adult books. Mm-hmm. It's a little more graphic than I think in a young adult novel. The topics are different, because you're in a different period of your life. It's mostly your early 20s or college experiences. Stuff like that, I think, is kind of what we talked about.
I remember being on that, but I don't remember, like, what I said exactly. But, yeah, that was basically what new adult is. And I haven't really been keeping up on it. I remember when we first did that was sort of when I had first started hearing about it, and I was really interested in it because although I like young adult books, I feel like sometimes I want them to be like a little darker and grittier, and you can't always get that depending on what kind of story that you're writing. And, you know, you have to think about your audience and stuff like that. But the new adult kind of lets you explore that a little bit more. But I haven't actually been keeping up with it. I don't know if it's becoming more popular. I guess I do see it a little bit more often than I did before.
I think it's definitely becoming more popular, but like, I don't think what new adult is as such has changed. And it's always been a really weird category to me. So I don't know. Like, I don't think I was on that episode where at the start where you guys were talking about it. But it's just like this weird, bizarre category, because like if you take something like Fangirl, for example, by Rainbow Rowell, technically you would say that that's a new adult book because it's about her at college. It's not about her at high school. And yet everyone categorizes that as YA still, right? And I just read The Goldfinch by Donna Tartt that won the Pulitzer Prize. And that, for the most, like, the majority of the book is about the kid when he's, like, 14 and then 17. And you would say, oh, well, that's young adult. But no, that's literary fiction. So the categories are so arbitrary. And new adult just seems like the weirdest of all of them to me because, yeah, it does just seem to be this very specific niche of college stories with a lot of sex in them. That's basically what it seems like, or at least that's those are the ones that are kind of hitting it big at the moment. And like, personally for me, I don't have a lot of interest in reading that, especially so yeah, I don't tend to read a lot of like quote unquote new adult. I think it's, yeah, it's gaining popularity. Certainly some of the different series are gaining popularity, but like as a genre, it's just kind of like going on as it was before.
Yeah, and I think the reason why there are so many romance novels in the NA category is because I feel like that's what's popular right now. And as that category grows, then it'll kind of start encompassing other things. But at the moment, I do feel like it's strictly, not strictly romance, because I'm sure there's a lot of other stuff out there, but that's sort of what you hear more of. And yeah, that doesn't, like, I don't want just a story that's just romance. So hopefully as it gains more and more popularity, authors will start branching out and the audience members will kind of take to that and it'll sort of become all-encompassing like YA is.
Yeah, I think that it's going to take a little time, but I think they are starting to branch out some. And I think that, again, in the publishing world, it might take a little while to make that adjustment. Like, new adult finally kind of just hit its stride. So before we see this influx or change and include, you know, fantasy novels or something like that, I think it's going to, you know, take a little while for them to kind of come through that way. And then the other thing is, how do you determine a new adult fantasy novel from a fantasy novel? Do you know what I mean? Like, what are the factors?
Right.
Again, that's kind of that gray area that is this category. But I think it's changed some to some extent. I think it's become extremely popular since the last time we talked about it. I think it's kind of really hit its stride. I know several authors that write in the new adult genre hit the New York Times bestselling list, you know, hit the USA Today bestselling list. So it's really interesting to see, and a lot of them are self-published. So it's really interesting to see their success, you know, on something that a lot of people in the general publishing industry kind of are like, oh yeah, no, I don't think so. So it's really cool that they've kind of made their own space in the world to create this genre for themselves and for clearly all the people that are reading it. Okay, so let's get on with the main discussion this episode, which is going to be lots of movie adaptation news again, shockingly. So, the first bit of news is going to be that, shocker of all shocking things, Looking for Alaska is going to be made into a movie. Are you all shocked?
Oh my god.
Now, Paper Towns is being made into a movie too, right?
Yes, they both are. Basically, the
different
only
studio.
Ones, yeah, the only ones at this point that aren't optioned that we know of is An Abundance of Catherines and Will Grayson, Will Grayson.
Oh, no one's going to option Catherine's. That book
I feel
not
like no
good.
One's going to option Will Grayson, Will Grayson.
Yeah, so I don't know if those two will actually...
Well, they did Nick and Nora. They could do the kind of joint... I don't know.
Yeah.
I would like to see that one. That's always my favorite one.
See, I'd prefer, like, Looking for Alaska over Will Grayson, Will Grayson.
Oh, well, I mean, I don't think anyone was thinking that they weren't going to make a Looking for Alaska movie. Personally, I'm excited for the casting announcement of Shailene Woodley as Alaska.
Please make it stop. Make it stop now.
That should be coming any day now.
No, I think we need to do a casting for Alaska. Because eventually, like, Mae Whitman, I had her for casting for Hazel. She didn't get it, but she did end up in The Duff, which is another YA adaptation. So, you know, there's hope.
Yeah, she'll get cast in a John Green one eventually.
Well, we're running out. It's not like he writes that frequently.
Yeah, but by the time they've got through all of these, he'll have written something else. It'll be fine. They'll start doing that, his short story or whatever. He did one with Maureen Johnson. Like, I can't remember what it's called.
Oh, isn't that Let It Snow? Let It Snow, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And someone else, who I can't remember who else wrote in that.
Yeah.
Anyway, has anyone ever heard of this director before? Because I sure haven't.
No, I have not, but everybody evidently thinks she's awesome. Because it says, John Green's tweets, so excited to announce that the brilliant filmmaker Sarah Polley will be writing and directing a film adaptation of Looking for Alaska. His next tweet, I'm a huge fan of Sarah's movies, and her ideas about Looking for Alaska are really wonderful, and I am so very excited.
All right.
So cool. She's a documentary, and she played Anna in Dawn of the Dead.
That's so she's written, I'm looking at Take This Waltz,
okay,
which had Michelle Williams and Seth Rogen that she wrote and directed. So I guess that's kind of her thing, that she writes and directs her movies.
Okay. Gotcha, gotcha. Yeah, and that was, I don't know.
Away From Her, that's another one. That's got Julie Christie and who else? Don't know, some other people that no one's heard of. I'm sure she'll be great.
Yeah, what's super funny is that Looking for Alaska was the first John Green novel optioned for adaptation, and it has sat on a shelf since 2005.
It's so sad.
And now all of a sudden The Fault in Our Stars makes $100 million stateside, and Paramount's like, oh hey, let's put it in production, let's go.
Yeah.
So that's why it's two different studios, because that one had actually been optioned first.
It had already been optioned. Mm-hmm. It's been literally shelved for like ever. Yeah.
It's like that studio would have been the first to discover that John Green would have made a bunch of money for them, but then they were just like, nah, never mind.
And
now
I really think they wouldn't have.
For lots of reasons.
I think it's hard to remember what John Green used to be. Like, he was always very popular in the young adult community, but he had nowhere near the popularity that he had before Fault came out, the book. And if they had gone ahead with this movie, it would have been like maybe an indie sleeper, but like unlikely that, you know, much would have happened with it.
Yeah.
But now that he's, you know, everyone knows who John Green is, it's the perfect time to tap into all of this. And luckily they just happen to still have the rights to it.
Conveniently for them, they still had it. Yeah. All right. So in more adaptation news, that word kills me every time I try to say it. Karen, I think you'll like this one, perhaps. To All the Boys I've Loved Before by Jenny Han has been optioned for adaptation by a very interesting company. It's been optioned by Overbrook Entertainment, which is actually owned by Will Smith. So I think that's kind of interesting.
And random. Karen,
and random. Yeah, everybody wants their new realistic fiction YA adaptation. Vampires are out. Realistic fiction and heartbreak is in. Are you guys familiar with this book? It just came out, I think, in April.
I am not.
Yeah, I haven't read it, though.
Yeah, so To All the Boys I've Loved Before is the story of a girl who, she has these five boys that she's kind of been in love with or crushed on at some point in her teenage years, and she's still in her teenage years. And instead of talking to them or trying to make anything happen, she writes them letters. And she keeps them in a box under her bed, and somehow those letters get mailed. So now she has to deal with the fallout from that, from all these boys who've received these letters saying, you know, these things about them that were very personal to her and how much she likes them or what she likes about them and all this other stuff. And now she kind of has to deal with the fallout from five boys getting these letters, which sounds extremely embarrassing. So, yeah.
This sounds like the kind of book that I wouldn't normally like. I don't know, because it, like, stresses me out. Like, if those letters just hadn't been mailed, then everything would be okay if she just hadn't written them. You know, like, those stories, like, if you don't lie, then this wouldn't have happened and you wouldn't be in all this trouble. I don't know.
So practical about it.
But then there would be no book.
I know. But the thing is, But the thing is, her Burn for Burn series is really, really good, and I didn't think that I was going to like it, and it turned out being something completely different than I thought it would be originally. So, I don't know, I might pick up this book and try it, and I think, you know, anytime a book is made into a movie, I always feel like I really want to read the book and compare it to the film.
Right. And this one is already has a screenwriter attached, and it's Annie Neal. And she hasn't done a lot, because I tried to look her up and get some information when I was writing the article. But she did write the script for Beauty Queen, and it made the Blacklist, which is kind of this prestigious list, last year. So she's got the writing chops. Let's see what she does with it. It's kind of interesting to see someone kind of who's gotten a prestigious award or you know, something like that, adapt a YA novel that is kind of lighthearted and fun. It's not as serious as one would think that she'd be looking for, so I'm kind of curious to see what she does with it. We shall see. All right, and next up is some casting news. The Fifth Wave, which is by Rick Yancey, and the second novel comes out, I think, in the fall. Has done some casting, and we know that the lead is going to be played by Chloe Moretz, who will be seen in August in If I Stay, and she has her two lead males now cast with her. So the Hollywood Reporter reported, shockingly, that Nick Robinson will play Ben Parrish, and that, who's the other person?
Alex
Rowe as Evan Walker. And these guys are teen survivors. Because are you guys familiar with The Fifth Wave?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, read it. Okay. Yeah. I actually read that one.
Hey. Okay.
Good one, Kyle.
Kyle, why don't you go ahead and give us a summary? Go ahead.
Oh, shit. Okay. it's a like post-apocalyptic novel about how these aliens can kind of come out and attacked Earth in like these sort of waves, and like the first wave was like, oh god, I don't even know how to describe, it's been a while since like, and like, okay, they get attacked in waves, not like literal waves, but like first like this thing, and then it's this thing,
like,
and each wave is like
attacks.
Yes, and each wave is mm-hmm. worse, and she is survived after the fourth wave, the movie takes place, and she's basically separated from her family. And the aliens have like taken over people, and she doesn't know who to trust and who to, and it's just about her surviving that and having to go through the fifth wave of attacks. Right? Yes.
Did yeah, I? Did basically. I,
yeah.
I'm, go with yeah. that.
That's not bad.
This so. Book has been sitting on my shelf since last year's BEA. I should probably get to it.
Karen, you should read it. So good. It's so good.
It is very good, although portions of it, I was less in love with the girl's part, because it's like, it goes into the girl's point of view, and then it goes into, like, the guy's point of view. I was much interested in the guy's point of view than the girl's point of view, but
yeah,
maybe
me
that's
too,
me.
I have to say. No, oh, okay. I think there was more kind of happening in
yeah.
his point of view, so that's
well,
why it was
quite
interesting.
Well, he does become a brutal killer.
Yeah,
in the
right,
way
exactly.
Animation. So he's got a little more to do, perhaps.
This guy, this is Nick Robinson. Yeah. I swear, I thought he was like a Jonas brother when I saw this photo. I was like, why are the Jonas brothers in this movie?
See,
but that's
okay,
fine.
I have a bone to pick, because the girl is like obsessed with him, and he was supposed to be like seriously gorgeous. And even in our like, in our featured image, it says his nickname was Ben, you are some kind of serious gorgeous Parrish. I'm like, that boy is not seriously gorgeous. The other guy
oh,
is.
Oh, he's cute. He's cute.
He's cute, but he's not seriously gorgeous.
Yeah, but he just has to be attractive to her. not you.
It's subjective, Kyle. Subjective.
Yeah. I like both of these casting announcements, though. The other guy, Alex Rowe, he looks like such a farm boy, and that's mm-hmm. like kind of perfect for it, I think. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to this movie. There's no release date or anything yet.
It hasn't even started filming yet. It looks
no.
like it will probably start filming in the fall. There's rumor of that. Now that they're starting to round out the cast.
Yeah, I would hope so.
I would say that they're gonna probably want to jump on it pretty quickly. You know, aliens are kind of coming back around. Falling Skies on TV is pretty popular here. So I think it's a matter of time before aliens are the next big thing, you know, with the new Star Trek, Star Wars, all that stuff. So I think that this has, you know, between it being apocalyptic and aliens based.
Mm-hmm. I think and the next book is out in September. So I'm sure they want to like tap into some hype.
Exactly.
From the books while they're still coming out.
Right. And that's the Infinite Sea. So I think that will probably do really well. So, yeah. So that's going to hopefully start casting in the fall, again, with Chloe Moretz in the lead. And then these two lovely gentlemen. It's going to be directed by Jay Blakeson. And the screenplay is adapted by Susanna Grant. So we shall see. And it's coming from Sony. So the effects and stuff should be really cool. I always get nervous depending, like, these heavy effects movies, depending on who's adapting them. I'm like, oh, is it going to be okay? So, yeah. But I think Sony's got it covered, so that'll be pretty cool. And anyway, let's see what else we have. All right, in other news, no more movie news. Thank goodness. I feel like every week, even though this is book hype, we have an awful lot of movie news to talk about. In other news, there's a campaign going on right now called Beyond the Words Calendar. I don't know if you guys have seen this. It's really cool.
Really awesome.
Lauren Zirchen is a photographer, and for the last couple of years, she's created these like stunning, stunning calendars that use authors in kind of imagery from their books or something like that, and they sell them for charity, and the money they make goes to charity. So there's a Kickstarter campaign right now that is set up for the 2016 calendar. And they're called Beyond the Words Calendars. And the authors that she has lined up for the 2016 calendar are Leigh Bardugo, Jim Butcher, Melissa De La Cruz, Tony DiTerlizzi, Kimmy Garcia, Lev Grossman, Robin Hobb, Tahir Mafi, Garth Nixon, Ransom Riggs, Margaret Stoll, and Scott Westerfeld. And the her pictures are gorgeous. Have you guys like flipped through any of them? Have you looked at them?
Oh, yeah. I've been spending like the past, 2 minutes just looking at them.
They're, so cool. So, there's a Kickstarter campaign. So, if you guys want a really cool calendar, you can help contribute to that. And, like I said, the images are stunning, and the money goes to charity for the calendars that are sold. So, might be worth checking that out. And we'll put a link in the post so you guys can look at that. And then another thing that came up that we had an article on today is called the Freshman 15, and it's a Wattpad contest. And this is run by the authors who will be debut authors in 2015. So that seems so far off, but considering we're in July, essentially, it's really not that far off. It's a little scary. Not gonna lie. And this is about, they're going to have a contest, and basically it's a contest hosted online on the writing website Wattpad. So if you're familiar with that, you want to check that out. And it's in the Common Room contest. We'll offer winners a chance to experience the publishing process guided by one of the 15 freshmen. So essentially what they're doing is they're having this contest through Wattpad, and it's a short story contest, and they're going to create an anthology afterwards. So basically if you win the contest, you will be guided through the publishing process with one of the debut authors, and they will... your short story will be published in an anthology, and it's to help basically aspiring authors. So what do you guys think about that?
That's cool.
Yeah, I really like it. It gets young people to learn about publishing, and if they have questions about it and they enter this contest and they win, they can be like, ooh, okay, now I understand what's happening. And it's a really great way to help motivate younger writers, because I know a lot of younger writers have these ideas and they want to write, but they're I like it a lot.
Yeah, I think it's really cool that they're willing to do this, because as a debut author, you have so much going on. If you think about it, you have your first novel coming out, you have to do a lot of kind of publicity and outreach to people because nobody knows who you are. You know, so it's really challenging, I think, in those different ways. And so the fact that they are willing to kind of host this project and then guide someone through the process that they've basically just gone through themselves, I think is really cool. It's kind of their way of paying it forward, which is awesome. It's really cool. And you guys can check this out. Again, we'll put the link in the post so that you guys can check it out. And if anyone is interested, they can compete in the contest. And if you happen to win, please let us know, because I think that would be awesome.
Yeah, to talk if you about. Win, you can come on Book Hive.
There you go. Bonus prize. Yeah. I was going to say we would interview you, but, you know, you can come on Book Hive and talk. That's fine.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, you know, so definitely check that out because I think it's really cool. And I know that there are lots of aspiring raiders out there that listen to us. So have at it. All right. So now we're going to talk about some hot new releases coming out for the month of July. And there are a lot of them. I tried to scale them back so there wouldn't be like a bajillion. But it was hard, I'm not going to lie, picking which books that I think we are most interested in. So, first up, coming out tomorrow, which by the time you guys hear this, it'll actually be a week later. I just realized that. I'll edit that out. It's fine. So, coming out in the beginning of July, we have Sinner by Maggie Stiefvater and Conversion by Catherine Howe. And did you guys read the one by Maggie Stiefvater that has the wolves in it? The Mercy Falls?
No.
It's the series. Do you guys know which one I'm talking about? It's Shiver.
Yeah.
Linger.
I haven't read them.
Yeah, duh.
Oh.
like Dream Thieves and all those ones, right?
No. Those are different. Those you should absolutely read.
I haven't read any of her books.
Yeah.
Oh, Shiver. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah.
Okay, no. So I read Shiver, which was the first book in that series, and it was okay. And then I read Linger, and I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. And after that, I probably stopped reading. But Sinner is a companion novel to that series. So lots of people are excited about it. So I put that on there for those people.
but not for you.
Nope. See? It's not always about me. Next up is Latitude Zero by Diana Wren. It looks like a really cool book, and she writes some really cool stuff. Very intricate, very fun stories, well plotted. And then after that, we have Midnight Thief by Livia Blackburn, Idols by Margaret Stoll, which is the second book in the Icon series, Wild by Alex Mallory, Where Silence Gathers by Kelsey Sutton, and it looks so creepy. I love it. The cover is just eerie and creepy. It's very cool. And then, of course, we have Queen of the Tearling by Erica Johansson, which I know Everyone is excited to read.
And I might have finally read by then.
Yeah. Okay. Can I just tell you, last week, I didn't delete it because I didn't think it was loud enough for someone to hear when I called Andrew a punk. So they go and put it on Twitter. I'm like, oh, man. And I just wanted to clarify, I did not call him a punk because he had read it, because I had already read it. It didn't matter to me. I called him a punk because it took him so damn long.
It took him like 3 months.
It was bad because I gave him that book when I was in California. And I'm like, dude, I'm going to need you to hurry up there, big guy.
I'm getting it. I'm getting it when I get to California because it was going to cost like $150 to ship it out here in time.
I'd have made him pay it anyway.
Yeah. I was trying to be nice.
I know. But yeah, so that's why I called him a punk. I totally owned it. I was like, yeah, I totally called you a punk.
And we're going to do a review on Queen of the Tearling.
Yes.
So everyone should read that one. Not in July.
Yeah, it's probably going to be like the first week of August or something because it's a busy month. It is. It's going to be crazy busy. July is like psychotic, but fun all at the same time.
Come on. Give everyone time to read it.
So yes.
Everyone read it.
Yes. Continuing with our list, we have Welcome to the Dark House by Lori Feria Solazar. She, again, writes really cool kind of paranormal fun books, so this one definitely has a lot of promise. And then Marina by Carlos Ruiz Zafron is new, coming out. And I know you like him, Marima, so that's for you.
Yeah, that came out here last year.
Yeah.
And I would definitely recommend. It's not my favorite of his books, but even my least favorite of his books is still, like, better than all the other books that I've read. So it's very creepy. He writes very, like, gothic kind of books. Kyle, you would like it.
Excellent. I mean, gothic, yes. Are there a lot of death like lots of
deaths? There are some deaths, like, yes. There are some deaths. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Are they gruesome? Like, do they describe them in like fun ways?
I can't remember. Oh, kind of. Okay. It's not like people getting. It's not like final. What's that one?
Final Destination. Final
Destination. Oh, yeah, it's not like Final Destination style. Oh, it's more like you know, Keats. Like
that's like the creme brulee of deaths. I don't expect all deaths to be like that. But like the occasional like Did Final you Destination.
Just,
like,
I'm sorry, you just compared creme brulee to Final that's Destination. That's the creme brulee.
Wow. Okay. I don't know if that's what you meant to say, but I think we'll go with that.
Yeah.
It was highly entertaining. I like it. Continuing with the list, One Past Midnight by Jessica Sherrington. And this was a novel that came out in Australia earlier in the year, and we had her on Book Hype to talk about it. So if you guys remember, this is the novel we talked about.
And it was good, and you should read it.
Right, and what was the name of it in Australia?
Between the Lives.
Between the Lives. So
I think it was Between the Lives in the UK as well.
Yeah, sure. Probably.
But it's a standalone, so... If you don't want to like get into her whole big series, you could check this one out. Still got that kind of supernatural thing going on, and it was very cool. I liked it a lot.
Excellent. And then at the end of the month, we have The Young Worlds by Chris Weitz. And Chris Weitz is probably best known as a movie director and screenwriter. So this is his first kind of foray into the book world, and I'm kind of really curious to read it. I have it. Karen, I think this is a book that you would really like. It's dystopian. But kind of in a funky way. Yeah, so definitely think it's something you would like. And last, but certainly not least, in the month of July is Silver Shadows by Rochelle Mead, which I need in my hand, like, yesterday. So, yeah, that will
cap off. Lots of stuff.
Yeah, so much going on in the month of July. Kind of excited about it. So if you guys have any books that you're really looking forward to that are coming out in July, please make sure to leave them in the comments, and we will try to mention them next time. Because there's just so much going on, and it's hard to choose what books are going to be, like, amazing when they come out. I can only go on so many things that I've heard or seen or read, and as we all can. So if you have something coming out that you're super passionate about, make sure to drop us a line so we know. Put it on our radar. We like new books.
I just wanted to mention that in the comments of our last episode about LGBT representation, there's like some cool discussions happening. So, and what I like especially is that everyone is like giving their own recommendations of other books that feature LGBT characters and stories. So if people are looking for even more suggestions on top of our huge list that we gave you, there are some cool ones happening over there.
Excellent, excellent. I did notice that. There's a lot going on over there. So some listener feedback. This one I find highly entertaining. This comes from the Looking for Alaska post, and it's from Ben Holmquist. And he says, oh, God, I work at a movie theater. The amount of crying people coming out of The Fault in Our Stars, quote, a lot, will pale in comparison to this. And he kind of laughs, which is... interesting.
So, yeah, that's accurate.
Looking for Alaska is going to be even more tragic.
Yes. Karen, have you not read it?
No.
Are you joking? Are you spoiled on it?
No.
Do you know what happens in it?
No.
How do you Stay not away know what happens
thread,
in it?
Karen, stay away from the thread.
Okay.
Yes.
Oh, God, I don't want to read it now.
Oh, you have to.
How have you not read it?
I don't.
It's been out for 9 years.
John Green book I've ever read was The Fault in Our Stars, and like when I first read that, I'd barely even heard of him. So yeah, go ahead.
Even Kyle has read Looking for Alaska. It takes him about 4 years to read a book.
Hey.
I think part of it is because we forced Karen to read The Fault in Our Stars. I mean, other than that, she may not have read any John Green books.
That's true.
I mean, it's on my list.
You have to guilt Karen into reading things. That's what I've discovered.
Oh, God, it's so true, though.
Like, it is. But you know what? How many of the books that we've guilted you into reading have you actually not liked?
Like zero.
Exactly. Yeah. So
we have very good taste, Karen. You should trust us.
I do trust you guys. It just takes me a little bit longer to read things than you.
Me and Jen are like, come on, you've had that book for 3 days. Like, why haven't you finished it?
I'm like, I'm 14 pages in. Give me some time.
Oh, Karen, you make me laugh.
You're adorable.
Oh, fantastic. All right. Our next comment comes from, how do you guys think you say that?
Oh, we say it wrong every time. Seltzies? And I apologize every time.
Yeah, Seltzy maybe? Seltzies maybe? Oh, I'm sorry. You're going to have to give me a pronunciation key with your name next time. It'd be super helpful. I'm like, please. Ah. So this comment comes from, this was the post about the 10 realistic novels we would like to see made into films. And this, she added some additions to our list of 10, and she said she would like to see "This Song Will Save Your Life" by Layla Sales, which I love, by the way, so excellent choice.
Me too.
"Saving Francesca" by Melina Marchetta.
Yes!
"Guy in Real Life" by Steve Bresnahan. I know, it's okay, you'll be fine, Marima. "Two Ways Kissing" by David Levithan. And yes. "Slammed" by Colleen Hoover.
I just decided to comment on all of them. I hope that's fine.
yes, go for it. So do you guys have any other, because I basically personally picked those 10. It was Jen's choice that day. those 10 novels that I thought would be really interesting to see made into films. And I think for lots of different reasons, there was some diversity in there and there were a lot of different storylines. It wasn't just a romantic storyline or something like that. So is there something, or are there realistic novels, YA, that you guys think would make great movies that aren't currently adapted?
I gave you a suggestion. Wasn't that one of the ones that I said the beginning of everything?
That was yours. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. I actually tweeted that to the author, Robin Schneider, and she was like, oh, yes, please, I would love this to be made into a movie. So she was really excited.
Yes. You gave me one. I think Brittany gave me one as well. I think she gave me...
Yeah, what'd she give you?
The Dante and...
Oh, Aristotle and Dante,
yes.
Discover the Secrets of the Universe. Brittany and I are united in our love for that book.
Yeah, she gave me that one. Yes, it wasn't just my choice. I take it all back.
Yeah. I would like to see the entire back catalog of Melina Marchetta's books made into movies. And then I'm done. And then I'm happy.
Like, no big fee. I just want that.
She could be like the new John Green.
True.
While we're talking about this, and... Marima guilting me into she sent me a picture of her looking really sad holding on the Jellicoe Road and was like, finished this yet? And I'm like, I'm still working on it. But she was like, very sad looking. And I did feel really guilty.
I love it.
Oh, well, I'm Karen, so just pleased. Think,
you have a couple plane rides.
Emotional manipulation.
Yes, that's amazing that you're sending. I never thought to send pouty pictures, man.
No, that's a terrible idea.
Karen, I'm seeing you at the end of July, and if you haven't read it by then, I might murder you. Or I will lock you in a room and read the entire thing to you. One of the two.
Because that would be cool.
I opt for number two because A, I can't live without Karen, and B, I don't need you in jail. That just won't work. So everyone's better with option two.
Yeah.
This is true. I mean, you already said that you weren't going to be friends with me anymore if I didn't finish it by San Diego, so that's my goal because that would make me really
sad. Your goal is to not be friends anymore.
Oh, ouch.
Continue to be friends.
Thanks, Karen. I didn't know we'd have our breakup so publicly.
Well, hey, you're the one that threatened me with it.
Yeah. I sent you a book
for
free.
This is an abusive friendship.
Okay, I would like to make something clear. I sent Karen that book as a surprise, so I was being the nice person in this friendship.
It was really nice, and I cried tears of happiness, so it's not
an abuse. And I laughed about it.
Yeah, she did.
Anyway, I'm sure we must have something else to talk about.
Oh, yeah, we should probably move on before Marima gets lots of hate mail. This one comes from Alyssa Roy. And this also is on the 10 realistic fiction novels. She says, I also highly suggest The Vigilante Poets of Slewen Academy. It came out just a couple of months ago, and I absolutely love it. It's very clever and funny and good for any John Green fan. What I liked most is that it isn't a strictly romantic YA book, as many of them seem to be these days. It has a little bit of romance, but focuses more on friendships and relationships, which I enjoyed greatly. It was a nice change and might be one of my favorites. Have you guys read that one? I haven't read that one.
No, I've never even heard of that, but it sounds cool.
Yeah, it does sound cool. So that's another one we can add to the list of things we should be reading. Did you just totally copy that and paste it?
Yeah, I'm looking it up. Leave me alone.
I was like, what a are you doing?
It came out in April, but it has a really cool cover, so yeah. I think I maybe should read this.
Maybe.
I've got about 25 hours of plane coming up, so
I was gonna say we all have really long plane rides coming up, so
yeah, we all have 15-hour plane rides. Okay, you're not letting compare yours to mine.
My plane ride is gonna be so long. Before, if it makes you feel better, and mine was actually longer because I went from Connecticut, like stopped in LA for like 2 hours and then flew to Sydney. So
boohoo.
I'm just saying, I can understand the pain. I've done it before.
I am very excited that everyone is excited about all of these like contemporary YA adaptations. And I hope that this becomes a thing instead of like vampires and dystopian.
Yes. Me too.
Yes.
I hope it sticks.
I want more contemporary novels to also be adapted into television shows. Like,
yeah.
I feel like there aren't enough of them. Like, they always adapt, like, the vampires and sci-fi and crap, and I'm like, no, like, give me a good contemporary YA novel into a TV show that goes, like, 24 episodes long in a year, and I'm good. I'd be like, yes.
But yeah, to be fair, like, a lot of those kind of supernatural ones are series, whereas the contemporary ones tend to be standalone, so how much material do they actually have? But they could do a mini-series or something.
Yeah.
Right.
That'd be cool.
Yeah. Or they could base it off of that and then continue the story. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like, so many people have done that. It's not like the Vampire Academy, the Vampire Diaries, excuse me, has actually stuck to what was in the books. Do you know what I mean? They adapted the characters and the ideas, but they didn't keep the plot lines in any way.
Even the 100, which is only like 200 pages long, somehow they managed to turn that into a TV series. So
much so that the CW renewed it, so it did well enough that it worked.
So it can definitely be done with young adult.
Oh, it absolutely can. It's just a matter of where it lands. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't think we've seen a lot of successful young adult adaptations for TV just yet. Like, the only one currently is The Vampire Diaries. I mean, after that, can you guys think of anything else? I mean, Roswell back in the 90s, which lasted for a hot 3 years, and the third season was so bad I wanted to cry.
Gossip Girl. Best TV show of all time. No, it was a terrible TV show.
Where's that
song? Oh, God, guys, don't even stop me on how much I love Gossip Girl.
I was like,
Pretty Little Liars?
As the XOXO kind of girl, but okay.
Are you serious? I'm obsessed with Gossip Girl. Pretty Little Liars, wasn't that one of those package series?
Pretty Little Liars is a package, from Sarah Shepard. But see, they did the second, there was The Lying Game, which was also Sarah Shepard, and it only lasted like a season and a half. And those are on ABC Family, and they also did The 9 Lives of Chloe King, which barely lasted a season. So it's like a hit or miss, and some of them are really good.
Game of Thrones, but that's like sci-fi.
But that's different. Fancy. It's a whole different level, and it's on HBO, so they can get away with a lot more. So it just depends. I guess I would just like to see something. I don't know. Maybe that'll be our next post, the TV show, the YA novels we want to see made into TV shows.
I like it.
We can make that happen. We shall see. All right. So as a reminder, we have a bunch of different things coming up as we look ahead for Book Hype. As you guys all know, and we've mentioned like a million times, we will all be in Comic-Con or at Comic-Con. So the end of the month, we won't necessarily have an episode because we won't be here. but you guys will have a pre-Comic-Con episode, so we'll let you know where we'll be at Comic-Con, what any author events we might be checking out. We have a couple cool things planned, I think, for Comic-Con, which will be awesome. And we have some special guests coming up in August. We're going to have Monica Murphy and Rachel Harris, as well as Anne Aguirre. I always say her name wrong. I'm going to have to learn how to say that before we talk to her. And Nicole Chase. And they will all be joining us on various podcasts in the upcoming month, which is really cool. And they all have new releases coming out as well. And our August book, just so we don't forget, is Isla and the Happily Ever After. And I'm so excited because I should be getting that book this week.
And then giving it to me at San Diego.
Miriam is going to be really happy to see me in San Diego. Let me just tell you. I have a whole box of books with her name on it.
Yay.
Kyle and Karen, have you guys read Anna and the French Kiss and Lola and the Boy Next Door?
Mm-hmm.
I knew the answer was going to be no.
Don't worry, I literally have it in my shopping cart right now getting ready to check out with it because I was like, I need to read these books before this one comes out in August because I know there's a second one too. And yes, also the first Dune book because I have the second one now.
Well, to be honest. All right,
so expect a sad selfie of Anna and the French Kiss in the next, I don't know, 15 minutes.
Oh, God.
And the best part is I have signed copies for Marima when I see her.
Woo!
Of Anna and the
new covers.
And with the new covers and Lola. But here's the thing. Like, you don't necessarily have to have read Anna and Lola to read Isla, I'm pretty sure. Because you didn't have. But you should absolutely. If you can't get both
because
of them.
Because they're great.
In, that's, I mean, it's sad. But at the same time, you absolutely must read Anna and the French Kiss.
Yeah.
Literally, like, I stayed up all night one night reading it because I couldn't put it down. Like, it was like 3 o'clock in the morning. I was done. And then I actually reviewed it because I loved it so much. Loved it.
Yeah, it's so good.
So good. So, Kyle, there are no deaths, but
there's many attractive boys, Kyle. So, I don't know why you haven't read it by now.
So,
seriously.
Yeah, those are the, like, if there's no deaths, I'll do with attractive boys. If there's no death or attractive boys, then I still read it if it's good.
It's set in Paris. We all know how Karen feels about Paris, and that's why she hasn't read it.
Well, since I've been to Paris, now I'll actually know what they're talking about, so I'm down.
Exactly. Oh, yeah, so you're ready. Oh, and the second one is set in San Francisco, so what are your excuses?
Oh, yay! Well, I hate it already, because San Francisco sucks. No, I'm kidding.
All right.
Oh, my goodness. All right, so... Anyway, now you guys are fully filled in on what we're going to be doing over the next, like, month and a half or so. As always, if you guys have any comments, any things that you would like to see us talk about or hear us talk about, please leave them in the comment section and let us know or tweet us because we love Twitter. Anyway, that pretty much wraps up this episode. So until next time, I'm Jen.
I'm Karen.
I'm Kyle.
And I'm Marima.
Bye, guys.
Bye.